In the boy, the larynx and the vocal cords change so that his voice acquires the deeper pitch of a man's voice. The shoulders become broader, thighs grow longer, and the muscles become stronger. Hair begins to grow on the face, under the arms, and in the pubic area.
You are a man. And in taking on the role of the world's greatest gender, you must adhere to a gentleman's guide to manliness.
If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you like making love at midnight.
You don't like that song?
Yeah.
Everybody likes that song because it was on the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack.
Can't get into Guardians of the Galaxy. No. Anybody that roots for a raccoon with a gun is a dum-dum.
I'm a dum-dum. Mm.
Can't do it.
Also, I like...
Count me among the dum-dum.
I think a great man once said...
Is dum-dum plural, like, count me among the dum-dum?
No, it would be dum-dums.
I think it's like fish. I think it could be the dum-dum.
A great man once
or
said
like deer.
That raccoons with guns
for
are for babies. Mm. That great man was Tom Vann. I stand behind my friend. Mm. One of the only things that we agree on is that... What's that guy's name? Rocky Raccoon Racket? Rocket the Raccoon?
Rocky Raccoon.
Not into it.
Rocket Raccoon or Rocky Raccoon?
I think it's Rocket Raccoon.
Rocket, yeah, but there's also Rocky Raccoon
also,
from the Beatles.
Chris Pratt will forever be... The Dodo from Parks and Rec in my
forever.
Mind.
Yeah.
And I can't take him seriously in Jurassic Park.
Then we had a friend of ours scam him into thinking he was getting married. our buddy
Shane Hartline.
Our buddy Shane Hartline, who's an actor in L.A. We should talk to Shane about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He looks like Chris Pratt. And then
he's like, I'm getting married. Wish me well. And then Chris Pratt's like, oh, congratulations. And he's like, not getting married.
He's like, I just...
Wanted the attention.
I just
he totally punked him.
Yeah, fished you on social media.
Yeah.
Which I'm
you
sure...
and your beautiful wife. Which maybe I burned that bridge.
You got to think for Anna Faris?
Oh, yeah. Always
really?
Have. Always have. Probably always will. You know why? Because she's cool. But she's not try-hard cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I like her in Just Friends a lot.
I agree.
When she plays the pop star, like kind of Britney Spears type pop star.
Yeah, I like her because she comes off like somebody that's going to be cool for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Cameron Diaz went through this phase where she was cool?
Yeah.
Right around the time that Something About Mary had aged out, maybe 2 or 3 years after that, mm-hmm. she was doing like the Charlie's Angels and dancing in her underwear, jumping on the bed and stuff like that, and everybody was like, oh, she's totally cool. But you haven't really heard
anything.
That's kind
anything. Of a different kind of cool.
I don't think
Anna
she's
Faris
as
cool.
cool as Anna Faris. Anna Faris seems like way more cool. Like you could have mm-hmm. a conversation, like a weird conversation driving down the road with her about how much she likes or dislikes loose meat sandwiches or something like that.
I had a loose meat sandwich last night.
Really?
I did.
I know what that means.
You know what it means? You know what? I'll tell you what it was.
I know what that
means. I popped a big old can of Manwich.
Did you really?
And used the can opener to open it and fried up some onions and had a delicious Manwich sandwich open-faced because
that's the old thing. I want to hug you right now.
You know about that.
Sloppy Joe's, or traditionally what I like, a Manwich. They do make a spicy Manwich, or Manwich Bold, I think
really?
It's called. Yeah, it's good.
I like
it will give you diarrhea, though. Manwich,
yes.
100% of the time.
Dude, yeah. Is that how it works?
Yeah. I bought...
110% of the time. Almost when you touch the can, through osmosis, you get diarrhea.
I bought pulled pork in a bucket.
From like Sam's?
No, and like a Publix.
This
like,
is one of the most manly conversations we've had.
Because
by the
we're
way.
Talking about sloppy
Joe's. Let's talk about man sandwiches. Manwiches.
I bought pulled pork from the bucket.
The innuendo here could be bad, but luckily we're more mature than that.
Sure.
And I made myself 3 pulled pork sandwiches.
3 last night?
No, this is a while back. And my wife was yelling at me, you're eating too much.
Yeah.
And then I woke up.
You get yelled at a lot.
In the middle of the... Yeah, this is my life. In the middle of the night, diarrhea. That's when it's bad.
Oh, that's bad. Because when you have that, I had that a couple nights ago. When you have that, you have nightmares.
Yeah.
At least I do.
Lights on or lights off?
What do you mean?
I lights off for shame.
Lights off diarrhea.
Oh, when you're
going
to the bathroom?
Shame, yeah.
Yeah, because you don't want to wake everybody up.
No, I go in there and just by the light of my phone, and then I turn my phone flashlight on, and I point it at the ceiling so I can wipe. it's sad.
Well, the other thing is
shame. Just shame.
The other reason I don't turn on the lights is because I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I have one of those nights. Like, my dog is old. She's a lab. She's like she's become senile.
Time to put her down.
She's had like radiation for cancer. Like a couple
Tony
years back,
Ridge.
She's had a bunch of surgeries.
Tony Ridge, we'll take her to the beach. We'll get a couple photos
Never
of her.
Happen.
We'll put a bullet in her.
If anybody does my dog, it's going to be me. If
no.
anybody's going to put her out,
you're going to do it yourself. How are you
going to
do it? Run over
I'm not
her with
going
a jet
to
ski
anyway. She's you know, she's senile, but she's in good health now.
You gonna smother her with money? Like, how are you gonna do it?
A bunch of hundreds.
Just, here's how I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take her to the vet. I'm gonna have the vet do it.
Yeah, I did that. You know, they give the dog a sedative before they give it this syringe that looks like it's filled with Gatorade. And
oh, you were there?
Yeah. I didn't make my wife sit through it when Isley went, my Dalmatian.
Yeah.
And he was so sick that the sedative actually took him before they gave him the other shot.
I've only been through it once with a dog. It was Dusty. It was my wife's dog that she'd had since
she was
like...
I thought it was a Dusty dog. I was
it was Dusty dog.
Better to kill it if it's not being petted at all.
She was, you know, my wife got her when she was like 14, and I came along when she was already kind of older.
Yeah.
And so she'd been preparing for like, you know, 10 years, like, oh, this dog is going to go. I'd only been involved with that dog for a few years, and
You were more invested.
But I loved that dog. I mean, it was my first real dog, I think. And I remember she was sick. She, like, everything she ate, she kept throwing up.
Uh-huh.
And the night before, I could tell she was upset, and I got on the ground, and I laid down with her, and, like, I pet her, and I laid next to her and fell asleep, and then we took her in the next day, and they thought they might be able to save her, but it was during the surgery, wasn't going to...
Oh, I'm sorry. When they gave Isley the sedative, he died. And then protocol states that the veterinarian at that point has to give the syringe of the whatever it is that stops their heart. So she's like, look, I know he's already gone, but protocol states that I have to give him the shot.
Mm-hmm.
So they went ahead and they were giving him the shot of the stuff that looks like Gatorade. It's a very large syringe, very large needle. And when they gave it to him, then immediately he woke up, had a burst of strength.
What?
And he looked me in the eyes and he said, I'm alive! And then he collapsed and died.
That's really dark and messed up.
I hired a company for Lena to come to the house and do it. And
really?
Yeah. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You just toss her on the top.
And
sorry. I'm too caffeinated.
So they're like scrap metal people, but for dogs?
Yeah.
They're scrap dog people.
College hunks in a truck.
You don't want to know what they do after.
They also kill your dog. That's their side business.
Those are really small. Two hunks in a truck, very small in the body. Those will also kill your dog.
Barehanded.
But nude, so you're getting something
out
of it.
I scrap dog.
But that was...
around, look for dogs.
It seems like it's worse, but it's actually not, because the dog's like, we did it in our bed, and
I could never sleep in that bed again.
And the dog wasn't freaked out, because usually you take a dog to the vet, they freak out. So Lena was just sitting there, you know.
Really, my dog likes the vet.
Really?
Yeah, my vet likes the dog.
Isley never freaked out. Caesar does freak out. So I'll probably take you up on that service.
I think it's because we bored her there, and we've done it for, you know, 10 years, so she's used to it now.
If you hit the dog enough while you're driving to the vet, it will, like, not. It'll calm down.
Mm. All right, Kramer. You were on vacation last week. That's why we didn't do a gentleman's guide.
You want to know all about it?
And I want to find out where Steve Kramer goes on vacation.
Bora Bora.
And what does he do?
Beijing.
I don't know if I want to go into this.
Why not?
St. Petersburg, Russia?
You go to Thailand?
I saw somebody the other day.
Tickle
I
your
shopping.
Fancy?
Yeah,
what are you, watching a girl pull razor blades out of her pussy?
You go, that's what businessmen do.
Yeah, that's what you do.
It when was one of those things where I was
you're
like,
at some club and you tell a guy to cut a woman's arm off. And it's allowed.
And you're bidding on humans and there's yachts involved and
you're thinking of like Pacific Rim stuff. This was in the Northeast.
Okay. You're hunting bums? That's the only other thing.
Oh, that's cool.
I have a game that I play sometimes. It's called
Bum Hunting?
It's called Bum or Nap.
But what does that mean?
That's basically you see somebody and they're maybe at the park and they're, you know, on a bench and they're just resting and they've fallen asleep. And are they a bum or are they just somebody taking a nap?
They're a bum.
Always a bum.
No, not true.
The easiest game ever.
Many times, you know.
Nobody goes and naps in the park. That's dangerous,
lots
number
people
one.
Do. Lots of people do during the day, not at nighttime.
No. Well, they're so poor, they're almost bums. So
they're pre-bums.
No self-respecting
that's a pre-bum.
Person with the money goes to the park and takes a nap.
Everyone knows
you've gone to the park and slept on a park bench.
No, I've been reading a book and fallen asleep while reading a book on a park bench in Central Park.
I don't believe it. Were you poor or were you like?
I wasn't homeless.
But you were close.
I was gainfully employed.
But you were close to home.
The less money you have, the more likely you are to fall asleep on a bench. And that's it.
That's, so a, that's 100%
the case. I'm going to challenge you that next time you go to a big city, play bum or nap. Okay, and then when you do it, think of me, and you'll go, oh, he was so right. And the other game that I have is...
Do you wake the person up to make sure you got him right? Like, how do you
sometimes
win?
Sometimes you hang out for a while, and you watch them, and you see what they do. And they're like, oh, he was just taking a nap. He's going back to work.
Do you go, like,
he's from Spain. It was a siesta.
Do you offer them a dollar? You go, here you go. And if they're like, what? You're like, ah, damn it.
Yeah, yeah. That's
well, they could be homeless and reject the dollar.
No.
Nobody
no
does.
One.
No, that's, you know.
I mean, it I'll could give, happen. I don't think it ever would happen.
That's like you're a third of a way to a tall boy. No yeah. way.
I'll give someone a prize, just like the ICP. Did I give that guy a prize? I don't forgot now.
I mean, I think you said you were going to give him a prize, but you never did.
I think I sent it to Eric, the merch guy, and I said, give this guy a prize, but I may have not. So if you did, anyway.
Well, the other game I play, I bum or nap, and the other one I have is boyfriend or father.
You that's know, that a creepy one.
Yeah. No, that's where that one's weird.
No, that's where you see like somebody that's made.
Like
December.
If I'm walking with my daughter, you're like,
No, I don't think that's the scenario you're looking at. We're talking about, you know, you've got a guy that's 50 with a woman that's 30, and they're having lunch together, and is it, you know, daddy-daughter, or is it boyfriend-girlfriend?
That's an easy one to tell. Because
not always.
You can,
sometimes it's very challenging.
If the old man is
very
rich,
affectionate, too.
No, but if he's got a nice watch, he's dressed nice.
A lot of times they wear,
boyfriend.
Like, half pants.
What,
or
rich
like,
people don't have daughters?
Well, they do, but they don't normally wear culottes, linen shirt. They're not, you know, looking like a disgusting old man.
And by the way, this isn't gender specific either. I mean, I've seen, you know, older women with younger men on dates, too.
It's rare,
just,
though.
It's less common. But
nobody
I just
wants,
be,
nobody wants
be clear
that wrinkled
this is
ass
not a chauvinistic
shit.
Thing.
Also, the girl, you could tell if the girl has any sort of, you know, fake titties or Botox or...
You know what? I'm not used to you saying titties. I'm used to you saying tits, and that really threw me for a loop.
It's one of the words I don't like to say.
My wife doesn't like to say that. But you said... It was almost like your mouth got pursed when you said it. You were like, she has fake titties. Like, it became very, like, shrill.
I don't like that word, and I also don't like that alternative word for women's underwear.
Panties.
Like, I don't like saying that.
I don't like saying panties either.
Undies?
No. I like saying
Grundies.
My nanny calls them interiors. So that's my new word for them. I'm like, interiors. I soiled my interiors.
So let me tell you,
that's what she calls underwear. She tells them, she goes, the boys like, do you want to wear your interiors? And then they run off.
What's the oh, these are exteriors or clothing.
Yeah, yeah, interiors.
You know what? Your nanny's really logical.
What if you like live in a more cool climate and you've got multi layers? You can't call them interiors because that's not going to work.
Well, she's from
have three or four layers on.
She's never been, you know.
You never have.
Well, good luck getting a job
equator.
In the Northeast, nanny.
Nobody typically wears more than one pair of underwear, though.
That's probably true, but people layer clothing, and there's a good argument that the second layer above underwear is also interior.
No.
I think
that's,
so.
No, I feel so. Like that's called condiment.
So back to your vacation, Kramer, because I'm taking a rich man's vacation coming up next year. I'll tell you about
that's
it in a minute.
That's kind of what I did.
But so where do you go? What hotel do you stay in?
I mean, I think there's something you should know. Before we talk about where I've been, I want to talk about where I came from. I want to talk about how I've been on some really sketchy vacations. I remember playing CMJ in New York and staying in a hotel that cost $60 a night.
Uh-huh.
And it was right next to Central Park. It was like on the Upper West Side, kind of. And this hotel had an elevator that looked like a submarine.
Whoa.
And the walls were like all kind of, they were like straight out of the hotel
Compton.
In Big. They were like dark gray. Uh-huh. Walls, and when you went in there was a TV, but it was like an old tube TV, and it was on like a white piece of like lawn furniture. And the bed kind of was at a downward angle, so at the top, you know, you're kind of almost at a 45 degree angle with the bed kind of going downward by your feet.
Uh-huh.
But only on one side, so it's kind of like a skew.
Yeah, okay.
And there was only one sheet on the bed. It was just a white sheet. And then there was like a fitted sheet, but it wasn't fitted. It was like two just regular flat sheets on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a furnace that wouldn't stop running.
So it's hot.
But there was a window. and the window looked out into another window that was less than a foot away.
Oh, that's cool. So you could literally crawl out of your window into that other
you
building.
You could literally, you could see in between the two windows like a bunch of brick, and you could maybe like spot an alley with a dumpster down there. And there was no bathroom, because in New York, a lot of hotels don't have bathrooms.
Okay.
So.
What, really?
That was one of
the. Like a community bathroom at the end of the hall?
You've never, have you been in New York?
I mean, I've never been to the city. I've never been. You've never been to the city?
No.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, there's some nasty places for hotels.
We should all go to the city.
Share bathrooms. In fact, I'll remember because I stayed there for like a night or two, and then we stayed at another like hostel place that was like a hotel, but like a hostel style hotel, and they had shared bathrooms too. But that was like, compared to this place, it was the cleanest, nicest hotel I'd ever been to in my life, basically. Compared. So that's where I've been, to that end of the spectrum, where there's like murders going out outside your window. There's, you know, not call girls, because that would be too high dollar. There's like, there's hookers making deals in the
crack
room next
whores,
door.
Yeah.
And then to this vacation, which was we did it right. First off, we flew first class.
That's the way to go.
Which is amazing.
Yes, it is. It's so much better than
you flew in first class too?
Yeah, I've done it. The only way I was able to do it is through buddy passes through my wife's mom, who works for an airline. And with buddy passes, you fly standby. And if first class seats are available, you get to fly first class. You have to dress really nice. So I've flown first class to Europe a couple times.
That's awesome.
We literally had my own like sleeping pod. Like, you know what I'm saying? You recline all the way down to a bed, and then you have a TV, and you're in this pod laying down flat and drinking unlimited free alcohol. And I've done like the highest, you know, that's not the highest first class, but.
Really? There's more first than first?
International. Have you seen that new United Air Emirates first class commercial with Jennifer Aniston?
Jennifer Aniston,
Have you seen those? That fucking
pod? Well, you get a pod, and then you get like TV, window.
You get your own
mini bar with a fridge.
Yeah.
The door closes, so you can have complete practice. You can whack it in there if you want.
You have a
whack it door.
So you could be in the Mile High Whack It Club.
Like, you could be back there with your wife, like, doing it.
In the pod I was in, it was open air pod. So you put your feet in a closed area, and you kind of have a little hood, but it's still a seat, technically.
Yeah.
Anyway,
wow.
Is that the one you shit your pants?
Yeah, I didn't shit my pants. I had
luckily
some...
you were in a setting where you could probably change.
Yeah, you soiled your interiors after having some man. No,
it was just an oil. I had
tie
some
it all together.
I had some butt really, oil. Really
you ever get butt oil?
I don't know
where you're
don't answer that.
Where you've decided to stop pooping, but your ass has different ideas.
Well, it's just
why is it oil?
It's
the leak.
Because it's not actually feces.
It's more of like the oil that would be in the crevices of the turd.
Oil.
It leaks out. It's like
you have to be like a robot to poop out oil.
No. Tom and I both have oil.
The Louis C.K. joke is super hilarious. He's like, the older I get, the more my butthole is like an open bag of leaves, and the slightest wind just blows some leaves out, and that's what it is. And he's like, and it's like I'll just be sitting there and be like, I have to go wipe my ass now, and there's no reason for it, and that's what happens. Anyway, so
I flew first class, which is amazing.
Yeah,
first up,
you and your wife. Or did you bring your kids?
Yeah, no, no.
You leave Screw the kids. Them, yeah. Okay.
So we did the Delta Sky Club first. Mm. Which, if you're like having Amex, you get that.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah,
it's amazing, right?
I forgot to give it to Daniel when he flew because it's both of our business.
It's all right.
Well, and it's way better because
I wasn't drinking anyway, so I wouldn't have done anything.
I've flown Southwest so many times, you know, because you get like $39 to New Orleans, which is where I would always go to see my family, you know, coming home from college and high
school. I don't like being loaded up like cattle.
Well, that's the thing.
Give me a fucking seat.
You're fighting for your number. You've got to get there early. You're like, you know, it's almost like a
I also wait till
free-for-all.
Everybody goes inside. That's the thing. Like, I usually fly Delta because my mother-in-law worked for. But I wait until everybody goes inside the plane, and then I go in last.
You got an assigned seat anyway.
Yeah, because I hate walking and just standing there while
people
put their
fucking bags. You got to be careful doing that, though, because everybody starts to take the head.
That's exactly
headspace.
But I'll just
that's the other side of it, and you're right. So you got to. I think you got
to
have like a
I don't like to check my bags because I keep a lot of like weapons and. small little...
So you can make that joke here. If you made that joke at the airport, you'd be in jail.
I'm not afraid of the fucking airport. What are they going to do? Fucking come get me? Come get me, motherfuckers.
I'm going to dare you. You go ahead and do that and videotape and see what happens.
I know people that work at the airport. They'd be like, he's a comedian man. He's fine.
So when you...
They take you down.
You get
knee in the back, hog tie you.
You get to Boston, Kramer.
Face down.
Oh, yeah, you went to Boston.
Well, first, I'm still on the plane. I got to... There's movies. Like, there's movies.
Well, they've had movies on planes for 25 years.
I know, but you have your own TV,
maybe even
which
longer.
They don't have in the back. And I know, like, I've been on JetBlue and other airlines, and yeah, they've got that. But it was cool because they were
unlimited
new releases.
Free. Yeah.
I saw Elvis and Nixon.
Is it a problem that we now have our own TVs on planes? I'm not saying that it's not convenient and awesome. But remember when you would watch the in-flight movie and everybody had to watch the screen?
Yeah. Or
that was in the days of, like... Four channels too.
Yeah, they still have those. I've been on planes.
They had
recently.
It on my plane.
Yeah,
everybody that wasn't in first class had the group movie.
Yeah, and then just
that's fucked up.
Every 10 feet, there's a TV that comes out of the right above the walkway.
They should retire those planes. I mean, just chop their wings off and get rid of them. There's no need to have them.
They had a meal. We had a meal. It was like barbecue. Pulled barbecue chicken slider. Sorry, I couldn't.
Oh,
get that
that's
out.
Fantastic!
And with coleslaw, and we had a meal. Everybody else in the back had peanuts.
Mm-hmm. Or you can
we
pay
had peanuts
for,
too, but
you
we had
pay
a meal.
For a snack box. That's the new thing.
No, you couldn't pay. Like, so we're eating, and everybody's smelling our food.
Oh yeah, that's part of the.
And there's a net separating,
but that's part of the enjoyment. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You look back there every once in a while, and then when somebody looks at you, you look away real fast, like oh, gross.
And no, I shake my head up and down. I go yeah.
Mm. Oh, do you?
Yeah,
that'll get you killed.
I've been on a first class flight
plane where they can't even joke about weapons.
They
tied it all back around.
They give you
otherwise
like mimosas for breakfast, hot cookies, and then a warm towel that they give you with a tong.
Yeah, my plane.
Oh, yeah,
gummy bear
the towel with the tong. That's nice.
Yeah, yeah, and then you put it on your face.
I paid the money to upgrade first class to L.A.
Yeah,
and they had a gummy bear dispenser, and they gave me. A warm turkey and brie sandwich on a pretzel roll with a bowl of soup. Oh, it's awesome.
The problem is once
I had all the movies. I had the little, I had a controller. I could play video games.
They get video games. You got movies. You got TV shows. I watched Portlandia. Watched Elvis and Nixon.
I've never paid for first class, so I don't know this buyer's remorse, but I could imagine that as soon as the plane lands and I get off, I'll have immediately a buyer's remorse because I'll be like, well, I could have just sat in the back and saved myself $800 and I would have been the same. I would have been here and it's all the experiences over.
Right,
like strip club laugh
dances. If you buy them right, it's not that much more. And if you use points, it's not that much more.
If you don't like flying, like I don't, like the upgrade, like I bought we use points for my tickets, but I paid the upgrade and the upgrade for first class was only $150. So
that's
for me, and I hate flying,
I hate flying too.
Well, I might as well have a fucking, because my chair laid flat. Like, I had the big leather recliner that lays completely flat. I have nobody sitting next to me. All my bags, I didn't even have to put them
above. Where's your wife?
I can put them below. I just went out there by myself.
Oh, okay.
She didn't want to go with the baby. But it was awesome. Like, it was definitely
that's my
totally
logic.
Worth $150.
I don't
usually
like
it's
either.
Way more, though.
I do not like flying. I've done it. I mean, I've flown since I was a little kid. I used
He's
to fly.
Right, though. You have to call at the right time.
Yeah, you do. If you order at the right time, it's not that much more. If you order at the wrong time, it's like $1,000 more. Yeah, so don't do that.
The tickets that we did with our buddy pass, like we just got a free first class. It was just because it was open. But when we landed, my mother-in-law was like, "Oh, that first class to from like I think Atlanta to Germany." It was a $7,000 ticket. And I was like, go!
Whoa.
So it would have been like $14,000.
Yeah, if you bought it like the week before or like the day before.
Yeah.
If you bought it like 2 months before, it would have been like, you know,
$1,200. Ah, no. It was like $2,000-$3,000.
Wow.
First class to international to Atlanta. It was that.
Yeah,
I didn't believe
it. And you want to be pampered, man. I mean.
Yeah, but.
My whole thing is I hate flying. I've done it a lot as a kid. But my thinking is, if I'm going to be suffering through this thing, at least I want to be super comfortable. And if anything ever happens, at least I'm going to go down in style.
Well, you burn up just like everybody else.
Well,
yeah,
you
but
do,
at least it's
but
in
you have
first
a gummy
class.
Bear dispenser and a warm brie and turkey sandwich.
Okay, so enough about flying. When you get to Boston, now why Boston? Why did you choose Boston?
Well, we went for it was a getaway.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And now, of course, like further north, you know, fall is here.
I went to school up there. I like going back. I like Boston. It's
leaves
fun.
Are changing, right? Nice, cool weather.
Yeah, it was great, man. I mean, you couldn't ask for better weather.
A lot of white people up there.
No.
That's an advantage.
Not true. Oh, not true at all. Very, very multi-ethnic.
I want less white different kinds people, of people for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Well, then go to Boston because it was very diverse.
Where do you... Like, do you go out and just enjoy restaurants?
So we did the first class plane, but then I said, well, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. So we did the first class hotel, too.
Okay. What is that now?
Ritz.
Oh, you did the Ritz. Nice. Ritz.
But they had a thing where it was they had a special, and I'm glad they had it because I don't know if I would have gone for it. It was a great thing. And as part of it, you were on the club level of the Ritz, and you had access to the club. The Ritz Club.
So like the spa.
Well, they've got all that. But the club is just like you have to swipe. You have to be on the club level to get in there. But in the club, they've got as much soda, as much Perrier, tea, coffee, wine, Bailey's,
oh, we had
liquor.
That at the, we had that at the Omni, remember? We had the card and we'd hit it and we'd go in there and there would be like a room of gentlemen. Mm. And they had like all the...
There's like a lounge with a bunch of really nice chairs.
Leather
they've
chairs.
Got, they've got a bunch
yeah.
of, I've still got Kind bars because every time I walked in, I was like, oh, let me get a Kind bar.
I love Kind bars.
They had a bowl full of Kind bars.
Nice.
They had a bowl full of Charleston chews, Swedish fish. They had like... That was like in one area. And then they had toasted almonds. Depending on the time of day, they'd have food. And it was from the restaurant, so it's really good. So they had like, you know, clam chowder that was their 100-year-old recipe.
That's cool.
They have desserts in the evening. Mm. They had homemade buttery cookies. And the great thing was, if we hadn't had that, there's like, in New York, there's like a deli every 20 feet.
Yeah.
Like, you can get a drink or beverage or food anywhere. In Boston, it's a small town, and there is not any of that. There's like nowhere to get soft drinks or water.
There's no Boston Market?
There are many Boston markets.
In Boston.
But I couldn't seem to find any
Which
of them.
One is the one that you go to and they're like, hey, we're Boston market number one?
I think they've gone downhill.
Boston Market?
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Way downhill.
I used to be a big fan of their meatloaf carver. Now I think it tastes like shit.
Yeah.
They serve you with like actual
plates
silverware.
Yeah. I don't like
it's
that.
A plastic silverware.
Still? Now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They, you order, they give you a plate.
They like.
Yeah. My wife still goes there.
They moved down like five levels on their supplier of foods.
Yeah, it's not as good as it used to be. What is your wife's take on Boston Market now? She still
goes there because there's very limited places.
Oh, yeah.
She's vegetarian, so
yeah.
Does she get mac and cheese?
She just gets a bunch of side plates. She actually likes vegetables, which is weird. She loves
if you're vegetarian.
I like how I mean.
Well, actually, I shouldn't say that.
What's she get? A potato, mac and cheese.
Nobody loves vegetables. Yeah.
My best friend.
A lot of people
my best
say
friend
that
is vegan and doesn't like vegetables, so add that one up.
Mm.
That doesn't work that well.
But
anyway, so with club level. You know, and the best part is there's nowhere to get drinks. There's nowhere to get food in Boston easily. There's no like quick stores to walk into. So you would have to really delve into the mini bar. And the mini bar, it's like $7 for like a little bitty soda.
Ah.
But if you're in the club level, you could drink 100 of those if you want.
It's all free.
So every one of them, when you drink it, you think that's $7.
I'm going to tell you something that I did because I stayed at a pretty fancy hotel when I went out to L.A. You tell me if this is okay or not, okay? Both of you.
Yeah.
In my room, there would be ice, obviously, in a thing, and then next to it would be a jumbo glass bottle of San Pellegrino, which is a mineral water.
Yeah.
I happen to really like it.
Me too.
And on my trip, I wasn't drinking, so mineral water or bubble water is my friend. So that's what I was leaning on
bubble water
a lot.
Mm.
So the bottle of the San Pellegrino in there was like, I want to say $10 for the big bottle.
Yeah.
But you can buy the same size bottle at Publix for like $3. So what I would do is I drink the one in there, but then I hit up a Walgreens on the way back to the hotel,
yeah.
Bought another bottle. Switch the bottle out so there's the one in the room that hasn't been used.
Mm.
And then that way, you know, I'm not going to get charged again because I just kept drinking them and drinking them and drinking them.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine to replace
100%.
That.
100%.
I'll steal whatever is not bolted down and I'll shit and not flush it.
But you can't steal.
What is the last time anyone here has shit and not flushed it? Because I feel like that is...
I'll leave a shit.
Have you guys ever done that where
I'll never acknowledge having done that in my life.
Have you guys ever done that where somebody came over to the house and went in and used your bathroom and there was a shit in there?
It's only because there's some sort of clog. I have bad plumbing with lots of doo-doo roots and things.
Well, then you should probably stop shitting in your toilets.
Doo-doo roots?
Yes, I have some root problems. They
yeah, I know, but you've got like the giant redwood trees in your front yard. Mm. They're like giant sequoias.
You know what we found
I've
out
never
yesterday?
Seen trees like
they're
that.
Oaks.
I don't want to bust him out, but you know what we found out yesterday? What? We found out yesterday his wife doesn't know that you're not supposed to flush tampons down the toilet.
What? Apparently that's a sitter standard debate because I saw on the...
No, that's like a never ever do that ever.
No, I went on a BDM page.
You're just trying to suck up to her because we probably made her cry.
No, I was shocked by how...
Because I've had plumbers pull out a tampon from the toilet and go, man, they shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that's what he says. But my wife tells me that she's going to flush them no matter what. She doesn't give a shit because she's never going to throw it in the trash like an animal. And apparently it's a 50-50 split, like standing.
There's no way it's 50-50 split.
Yeah, there's no way.
People probably do it,
but you're not supposed to. It's not recommended.
I know, but a lot of women
it's
grew like up
like
that.
It's like putting popcorn in the garbage disposal. You're not supposed to do it. Do people do it? Yeah.
What?
Popcorn in the garbage disposal?
I've never heard of that.
Have you done it?
I've put everything in the garbage disposal. You're like, I put a full piece of pizza one time.
You put bacon down there?
You can put pizza down there.
Like a whole slice, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. But not popcorn.
Why not?
Because you just...
I put a fork down there, and it just...
I put lots of spoons in there.
Yeah, and then you
spoon I've got.
And then you go to eat with a spoon.
You cut your lip.
And then, if you're my dad, you take the spoon out back, and you use a piece of sandpaper to sand it down so you can still use it. Fucking pour.
I've gone through so many teaspoons.
And my dad's like, don't throw that out. I can sand that down. It'll be good as new, just not shiny.
The worst is when you get like a glass that gets stuck in the drain.
And it's the exact same size.
And you can't tell. And then you run and you're like, oh, damn it.
Mm.
So, you know, they had turn down service.
Yes.
So they'll knock on the door, do you want us to turn down your sheets? Which is kind of weird because all they do is just turn down your sheets. They just pull down the sheets and puff it up and then you tip them and take good care of them.
Yeah. I've been to a hotel or I think they do that on cruises. I don't know. But I'm like, I don't need that. Like I am not – I'm always – no matter how much money I'll eventually make, I always have that poor – person mentality in my head where I can never get to the stage where I would enjoy turn down service and a lot of things. Like I enjoy free shit and like luxury items and things like that, but certain things.
But
that,
you say that, and then when you experience them, I see the look on your face, and it like
yeah, I know that look.
Like he wasn't into a steak dinner, but when we were out in Vegas, we went and we splurged. And gave ourselves an amazing, very expensive steak dinner.
I still had
steakhouse.
Buyer's remorse, though, and I wasn't the remorse I had over the money we spent was more than the enjoyment of the steak. I just don't have a palate for nice things,
It was cool. I mean, it was nothing great. We only did it one night, but the best part is they upgraded us from our regular room to a suite.
More than one room?
Yeah, with two bathrooms.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Which is amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, the guy must have really liked us.
I do like that. Were you wearing a suit when you traveled?
No, I was wearing jeans.
Really?
Yeah, I was wearing a blazer.
Did you ever bring a suit at all, or you're on vacation, Steve? It doesn't wear a suit.
I had a jacket, I had slacks.
Were you
but
B
I did not
Steve
have a suit.
Or F Steve?
I was F Steve, buddy.
F
Fun Steve all the way.
Let's do some. Well,
I want to tell you one thing, though. The best single part. So we rented a car, which I've been to Boston lots, and I know the city well.
Please don't tell me you skimped on the car.
No.
What'd you get?
It was nothing great. It was like it was nice.
What'd you get?
It was a Volvo SUV.
Okay. That's
but which was pointless.
Yeah,
but
Tom stinks.
we're flying back like at 7 o'clock in the morning last Friday, and I do the math, and I'm like, all right, if we bring this car back, we've got to get to the rental place like at 5 in the – like we have to be there 2 hours in advance, and we got to go to the rental place and take a bus to the terminal. We'll have to leave here like at 3 o'clock in the morning. So we turn in the car early, and they were like, crap, how are we going to get to the airport? And I've stayed at lots of hotels, and I've gone to the airport lots of times. I've taken lots of taxis. I've taken car services in New York, like a black car, whatever. So I went to the concierge, and I said, hey, do you guys have a car service you use? And they said, oh, yeah, we'll take care of it. So they have everything set up. The guy's waiting out there at 4:40 a.m., and we get out there like 15 minutes later, and we walk out there, and man, man, do they do it right. Because this guy's got a chauffeur cap on.
Yeah. Mm.
He's got newspapers in the back of the car. He's
bottles
got
of
waters
water
in the back of the car for us. It's like a 7 Series BMW.
Nice.
And the guy's like a great driver. We walk into the car. We get in the car. There's classical music playing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like...
I like that.
As top-notch as it
you
can get.
You don't like that, Tom?
No,
I get no remorse out of that. I'm like, this is why
amazing.
I work. Like, when I do stuff like that, I'm like, this is why I make money. I work really hard and drive my family crazy and literally I'm not going to live very long. But I work hard in order to blow this money on this type of fucking extravagant
dumb shit. It wasn't much more than a taxi.
No, they never are.
It wasn't much more than
taxis are very expensive.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. I enjoy that stuff, but I can't ever...
I enjoy not feeling like I'm going to die, which I feel like every time I get in a taxi, because I don't know what it is. I must draw the crazy-ass taxi driver, but every time I'm in a taxi, no matter where it is either, I always feel like...
See, I would think you'd have more buyer's remorse from, like, using Facebook... for favors for plumbers to pull tampons out of your roof.
Mm. Then I do have that, too.
Like, yeah. Like,
I have always remorse.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's
but if I know this, I would have called the hotel in advance, and I would have said, instead of renting a car, if I was to go back in time, I would never have rented a car in Boston, and I should have known that, but
you
I would never do it,
Uber
and I would
everywhere.
Call to get a car to the hotel and then taken a car back, and I would have been...
And you could have Ubered everywhere.
Yeah.
I just... At the
actually,
end,
you could subway and walk everywhere. It's like a mile walk anywhere you want
to
go.
That's cool.
I equate it to, like I said before, a lap dance. At the end, like during the time it's happening...
You're enjoying it.
I enjoy it. But at the end, when it's all done, I'm like, shit, that's in the past.
That's why you got to get another one real fast.
I shouldn't have spent that money. And
maybe it's for me. It's like I'd go on vacation so rarely. You know what I mean? I don't really take them very often. So if I'm going to do it, it was like, well, let me do this one right. Because I've never done that. I've never stayed at a Ritz. I've never done it up like that before. It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's something that even for those that would consider themselves blue collar or don't have a lot of money, it's not about that. Anybody can save their money for extended periods of time. Like I'm saving right now for something that I would like to purchase. We don't have the coin for it right now. But I want to save up and do it. But I do think it's worthwhile to pamper yourself at least once or twice in a lifetime where you go and you do something that's like way out of character for you. You know, I remember my parents would do that occasionally,
and
they had no money. But Dad would save his money.
My grandparents did that, too.
He'd go to Hawaii.
He was a school teacher.
And they'd surprise Mom. And he'd be like, look, I know you thought we were going to be here, but check it out. We're here. And they'd have an amazing time. I know you want to do voicemails. We're running out of time.
They would do that, too, though. They would do, you know, my grandparents, he was a school teacher. She was a legal secretary. But they would save, and they'd have, like, their once-a-year vacation, like in Pensacola or Gulf Shores. And they would do it right. And they wouldn't worry that much about... You know, everything when they're on that vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it keeps you sane, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
But now, I'm glad I've stayed in crappy hotels so that when I stay in an awesome one like that,
you can
I can really appreciate it.
Yeah, now, if you want to leave us a voicemail for A Gentleman's Guide to Manliness, what you really need to do is use the brand new Mediocre app. You can download it. It's 100% free. Go to the area that says Mediocre Messages. You can click that. You can leave us a video or a recorded voice message. Super easy to do. Or you can call 1-844-TOM-NDAN, and we'll also take those. And just say when you're leaving the message, hey, this is for A Gentleman's Guide. That way, when I go through them and organize them, I'll know where to put your message. So here we go.
Hey there, guys. Listening to A Gentleman's Guide to Manliness, and had a question. First off, Stephen Kramer, will pleated pants ever come back into fashion, or is there a place in fashion for pleated pants right now? I say there is not. I have a friend that I argued with the other night that says there is. He says they will come back into fashion. My stance was that they are for fat pouchy pouchos that need the extra fabric up front. Secondly, Tom, I'm still waiting for the apology about me having leukemia as a child.
Whoa. That's a
so until that happens, and probably even after it does happen, Dan is the good one. All right. Love you guys. Be good. Bye.
Pouchy. Why did I laugh at him having leukemia as a child? I forgot. He said it, and it seemed like it was a joke.
Oh, you thought it was a joke, yeah.
Yeah, because he was saying that he had the best life. He did have leukemia as a child, and I laughed because I thought I was like, he was going ultimate good and then ultimate bad. And
You're laughing right now.
You know what, sir? I'll never apologize.
I agree with you. If you still think it's funny, then you're not going to be able to apologize.
It's a false apology. I don't mean it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things.
I know what you were talking about.
There's a lot of sick shit that I find funny, and I just hope and pray that nobody ever looks at me and says, "Hey, apologize for that," because I'll be like, I don't think I can. You know?
I mean, I'll say the words.
You will, though. There's certain things you do, and then if you can make it fun of certain things and laugh at certain things, and then when you experience it or are on the receiving end of it, you go, oh.
See, it's hard for me.
But then it's important to be able to laugh about suffering too. I mean, we talked about that. That's where great comedy comes from, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
Is suffering.
But here's the thing: I'll have a hard time ever apologizing for something that only hurt someone's feelings, because I don't take that seriously. Like, I don't take
people's feelings seriously.
Like, if I affected your life negatively in any other way besides from just feelings, I apologize. But if it's just your feelings, who gives a fuck?
I've seen you apologize for hurting people's feelings.
When?
I've never seen that.
I've seen you do that.
Give me a
time. Pleated pants.
To get to that pleats question,
pleated pants.
Everything, fashion is a pendulum. Everything goes back in and out. Everything recycles. Just when it comes back, it's just a little bit different than the last time it was around.
So not for Pouchy Palchos?
Well, first off, pleated pants probably are more suited to the physique of a man. They're much more comfortable. They give more room.
Explain to me what pleated is.
Right on the sides here, you'll get those little...
It's extra folds in pants that give more room in a waistline and in a...
So they're for fat
in
people.
In your inseam area.
I don't think they're for fat people.
No, they're not.
They actually don't look as good on fat people as they would on a very slender person wearing them correctly.
True. And the
pleats
thing is,
on a fat person actually look bad because they pouch out.
But they're more comfortable for people that are heavier, too. And for men, listen, everybody when they get older, most people put on a few pounds. Here's a dude that's wearing pleated pants now.
Yeah. It looks good.
But that is...
The silhouette of the pant is better.
80s pleated pants were like... 10 pleats on each side in the front. It was like...
Z. Cavaricci.
Like, the pleats are those little folds.
Okay,
so they'd be pleat, 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 pleat on each side. So they were, like, way over that... Like, Z. Cavaricci's pretty much.
I had a couple pairs...
But if you wear that and another businessman sees you, they're not going to take you
seriously.
Well, no, that's not true. Like, 5 years ago... See, remember, fashion is one of those things where you get... It's like anything else. You get first adopters, early adopters. Those are, like, the people that are hip, that are with it. They're cool.
Or can you pull it off?
Like for me... You know, I was consider myself kind of hip, and I was one of the first people that, like, stopped wearing pleats. I was like, fuck pleats.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And at that point, if you walked into a business meeting, I mean, all those dudes had, like, big garbage bag suits with, you know, pants with 20 pleats, almost out of the 80s. And it wasn't until about 4 or 5 years ago that it really started to take hold in, like, more conservative elements. And now, good luck going to the store and finding pleated pants.
Very hard to find.
I mean... But 10 years ago, you'd have to beg to get a pair of flat front pants. But my point is, they will come back. They are coming back already in places like Europe and probably in some of, like, you know, Newark fashion. But when they come back, they'll probably be like a single pleat, which is what I just showed you a picture of.
Sure.
But I don't think it's like something anybody should rush to. I mean, I'm more in favor of classic style.
All right, let's continue.
Hey, Tom, this is Johnny wears a suit all the time, but I got some free advice on the whole sandal thing. Do yourself a favor, buy yourself some rainbows. I've had mine for like 12 years, and they're the best $50 I ever spent in my life. When they start to get stinky, throw them in the pool, because chlorine kills all. So let them just kind of float around the pool. I think Ross mentioned something about that, or Dan did. And then once every 2 weeks, once a month, put them in your kitchen sink or like a sink you have in the garage or whatever. Put some dishwashing detergent on there, you know, the normal Dawn or Ajax. Take a soft brush or a soft sponge and rub it into the leather that touches your foot. Let it kind of dry up there and then just spray it down, and they're going to smell like roses forever and ever. All right, man. Love you guys.
I know this gentleman because he does wear a suit all the time.
Johnny suit all the time?
Yeah. He goes to all our events in a suit. He sticks out.
Yeah, good looking guy. Why can't you just stick him in the dishwasher?
It's fine.
It's good. Very similar to you. I
think he's like a real estate agent. He's something. He's real estate. Yeah, wears a suit.
What about just sticking them in the dishwasher? Why couldn't you do that?
Or the washing
machine. Heat.
You wash your sneakers?
Do I wash my sneakers?
Yeah.
With a,
like in the washing machine.
In the washing machine, only certain pairs when they get really stinky.
It's like
usually,
when you're a kid, you do that all the
time. It's usually
right?
before I cycle them out.
Moms do that.
Yeah.
They're like, no, these shoes could go another year.
Well, my washer has a rack that...
Really?
You can wash the shoes, and then this rack folds out, and you stick the shoes on it, and it dries them.
That's kind of badass.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Next email. I have to look up rainbow sandals.
Rainbow.
All right, so I have a question. This is for A Gentleman's Guide to Manliness. I've had a watch for a few years now, and I want to get an Apple Watch now. I really like it, the swimming, the GPS, all that stuff. I am right-handed. I'm used to wearing my watch on my right wrist, but technically, fashionably, I guess, whatever the case may be, if you're right-handed, you wear it on your left. But the dials and everything else on the Apple Watch, you can flip it. So I just wanted to know what is the right wrist to wear my watch on. Thanks.
All right. The old Apple Watch question versus a regular watch.
So you're an Apple Watch connoisseur.
I've been wearing my dad's watch for the past, this is like the second day I've worn my Apple Watch. I've been switching back and forth.
You know, the thing that I mean, I love technology and I'm kind of a technophile and I like Apple products I have for a long time. But the thing about the Apple Watches is I didn't get one and I'm glad because I got to interact with people that did have them. And what I feel like is that there's so many times where they get called to look at their watch. Like you'll be in a meeting and you see somebody look at their watch and I always feel like they're not interested in being with me or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I've been in a consult with another attorney who's a friend of mine. We'll be talking to a client and his watch will be going off and he'll be looking at it while we're with the client and I'll be like, what are you doing?
That's better than looking at your phone, though.
I wouldn't look at my phone either.
Yeah, oh, it's more
than everybody.
Accessible. I agree. It's you don't want something distracting you constantly.
And the thing is, I can't blame anybody. Like I would be doing the same thing because I know if it was there, I'd either be distracted by it or I'd want to look at it.
See, I think you would want one though. Like you are always on your phone. Like anytime we stop a break, you're immediately to your phone.
Looking at
so with your watch, you can interact with it while you're doing stuff.
Well, the other thing is this: you've been wearing your dad's watch. The thing I like is we're like there's so much technology around. You know, there's so much. Everything's electronic. You know, you're bombarded with Wi-Fi and Blu-ray and Bluetooth and you know you got your phone and it's everywhere. And like one of the few places where I feel like you can have something that's old school, that's just gears and sweat and machinery, like old school, is your watch.
I would agree with that.
And so, I like having it. It's like it's the same reason I like vinyl, is it feels organic.
I like my Apple Watch. It serves a great purpose in here for setting timers or when I'm filling out the date. It's got like all of it's got everything there. It's got a lot of info there. But I think I'm gravitating back towards regular watches.
Would you consider wearing your Apple Watch like on a like – why don't they have like a pocket Apple Watch? I mean, I guess that's what a phone is.
No, I think they do
like
have
a pocket watch.
I think they do have a way that you can do that.
I wish there was an Apple Watch, a bigger screen you could keep in your pocket. You can make phone calls and
look at this guy. A real Seinfeld over here.
So going back to this guy's question, right hand or left hand on the watch?
Could you wear your Apple Watch on your right hand and a real watch on your left hand?
I thought about doing that.
I'll make fun of you.
I think he would make fun of me if I did that.
What do you? I mean, so let's hear the other side. I'm an outsider looking at Apple Watch.
I'll call you Watchy Watcherton.
I'm okay with that. What do you mean? What do I think?
Well, I mean, I told you kind of the outside impression. Like I see people that have them, they seem distracted often.
I would agree with that.
It's very electronic.
I would agree with all of that.
Not organic. But what's the argument in favor of it, or are you not into it anymore?
No, I am into it. I do like the idea of keeping my phone charging in the other room or keeping it in my pocket and be able to check my text messages, especially if it's something with my wife or the baby or something like that. I enjoy that. I enjoyed using it more when the baby was young because I could have her in my arms and be taking a phone call from my watch. I enjoyed that aspect of it. I don't use it as much as I did because those type of reasons that I would need it are kind of are fleeting now. You know, like the baby's older, she's moving, she's jumping around. Now it's more of a distraction for her because it lights up and she just wants to punch it, you know, hit all the buttons on it. I think I am gravitating back towards, like, I sort of have watch fever right now. I've been on a lot of watch websites.
Oh, dude, I got to show you something.
Yeah, it's bad. Please
There's
don't.
There's an auction.
I don't need to look at it. I don't need any more watches. I don't have any money. I don't need to be looking at this sort of stuff.
You can actually make money here.
Here's my website of the day. I've said it before in a gentleman's guide. Just if you're a guy and you like guy stuff, go to Uncrate. Even Tom likes this website.
Mm-hmm.
It's got submarines and boats and fucking watches and shoes, bags,
motorcycles,
dirt bikes.
I think you've shown this to me, but I think I need to get back
to
it.
Oh, it's like a blog of...
It's fucking rad.
But why are you looking at that if you don't have any money to spend right now?
I don't
Fantasy.
Know. It's my... Yeah, it's my...
So you should look at these watches I'm telling you about.
I've been looking at Uncrate for so long, and I got it from Angel Rivera from The Monsters in the Morning. You know, like, he turned me onto it, and I kept looking at it, and now it's part of my, like, when I get my coffee or my caffeine and come in here and sit down before I answer my email or anything, just for that first couple of sips, I go to Uncrate to see what they have, and, like, let's see. I'll go there right now. We'll see what
you know, doing. I'm building a site to sell, like, vintage and antique stuff. I told you guys about that, right?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about your antique vintage hobby, I guess. It's going to be a business for you.
Yeah.
And what makes something antique?
I think it has to be, the technical definition is that it has to be more than 100 years old.
Okay, so more
of this. Kobe lawn robot.
Oh, wow.
Tom, you need that. It's a lawn robot. It mows your lawn.
Does it mow it or just suck up the leaves?
It does both. It'll mow it. It'll suck up the leaves.
I got too many roots.
Mulch the leaves and dump them in the area of your choosing. We can buy our own private Scottish island. Look at these boots. Fry Modern Icon Collection. Marble kettlebells. Crazy looking socks with coyotes on them.
I like
1957 Ford Thunderbird F Bird. Yeah, look at this Mastercraft XT20 power boat. God, I love this fucking website.
That boat
is because it's one of a kind. It is unpriced.
Yeah,
wait, you see, if that's you, it's always bad when you've got to ask for the price. It doesn't matter where you're at. It could be on a menu. It could be on a website. You're screwed.
Yeah, it doesn't. There's no. Look at that. Look at the interior of that boat.
Griffin Wi-Fi router. God. I'm on here now.
Oh, it's the best.
So, Kramer, you could have something like 1915, and that'll be technically.
I mean, I guess the dictionary definition is probably something that's old and has value.
Okay.
But I think the technical industry standard is it's got to be more than 100 years old, and if it's like 80 to 100 or something, it's like near antique, and vintage is generally more than 20 years old.
Now let me ask you, so antiques, you can't be like struggling middle class and have a antique anything?
Absolutely you can. That would
well, because it's a mishmash of, like, you got some super old cabinets with an old rickety white fridge, and you got a cheap fucking dining room table with, and then all of a sudden you have this antique grandfather clock. And my point is, it would, the antique grandfather clock, if the whole house was, it flows better, like, what's the point
of
having antique, one piece of antique, and the rest of your house is shit?
There are
like
very
mine.
Few people that, like, decorate their house in one style. Like, there's not many people that do, like, oh, everything in my house is going to be Chippendale or Arts and Craft or Mid-Century or whatever. Most people don't do that. I mean, people did that once upon a time. You know, I'm sure in 1800, a lot of people decorated their house only with Federal style. But, you know, most people now, they have kind of a mishmash. And that's what eclectic style is. And that's kind of, that's our generation defined, is we like unique things, and it's cool, it's fun to mix things up together like that. And but as far as whether, it is not something that's confined to wealthy people. I mean, I go to these estate sales and I see lots of people that are, you know, that don't make a lot of money. I see people that are on fixed incomes that are looking to buy, you know, linens and stuff at a discount.
That's like Dirty Jim. They're buying shit from a dead guy to resell for some.
When I see Jimmy
make 50
do that,
bucks.
You know what I think? What? I think shyster. I think. Bad person.
You're buying stuff. Now, you're buying stuff to resell, too. But
you're like a collector.
Off, see, I mean, I don't find anything wrong with like what Jimmy does or anybody else because...
You don't find him disgusting it's not, at all? I just find him repulsive.
The only thing...
Racist old man.
Yeah, he's just racist.
He is so old, though.
And he's the tiniest dick. A tiny pink dick.
I'm texting him to listen.
Yeah, his dick looks like
he'll never listen.
His dick looks like a pit bull's nose. But it's fucking red and tiny and stinks.
If you buy it and you're being efficient. You're not being wasteful. You're not letting stuff go to waste. And then a lot of times, it's not always people that die. Like, for instance, I had a friend. My friend's dad is a doctor, and he practiced for a long time, and he was retiring, and he was moving into a condo, so he had an estate sale. He was still alive. He's in great health. He just wanted to get rid of a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he had nice stuff. And it's not something for rich people, like I said. I mean, lots of people go there because they could buy, you know, things at a discount that they might have paid a lot more. And then lots of people, like my grandparents, you know, like I said, school teacher, legal secretary, but they had stuff that they saved over time. That's what people used to do here is, you know, they used to save instead of just having disposable society. And then even like for me, if I could go back in time, I probably would have bought antique furniture. More because I realized, like, whoa, I could buy like a $300 dresser that's made to last for many lifetimes instead of buying a new crappy one from Rooms to Go or whatever, you know, whatever store, you know, I was buying from when I was 25.
Okay, I'm going to start doing something at the end of A Gentleman's Guide, and you guys can feel free to either do what I'm doing or just let me do it and then we can all discuss. But I figured I would pick an item that piqued my curiosity and interest, and then I would present it to you guys. And then have you attempt to guess the price of the item.
Oh, okay. Boy.
Okay?
So this is like The Price is Right.
Sort of, kind of. But this...
off of Uncrate.
I saw... Yeah.
Except we're not using
off of Uncrate.
Trademark.
Yeah. I saw this a couple of days ago. I enjoyed it. I like pins. Everybody knows I'm a Mont Blanc fan. I carry a Mont Blanc with me. It was a gift from my wife for my wedding. I like fine pins. And I have the little Mozart. It's tiny. It's not that expensive. You know, I mean, for a pin, it's very expensive.
Yeah, for a pin, it's very
expensive. But it's not that expensive.
Compared to a Maybach, it's not expensive.
I've also had it for almost 8 years, and it's in perfect working order, perfect condition. The guarantee that you get on these type of pins is phenomenal.
And if you do it right, you'll give it to your children.
That's the hope. The hope is that I will pass it down to my daughter.
Okay. That's the most brilliant marketing strategy I've ever seen is Patek Philippe. You know what their slogan is?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You never own a Patek Philippe. You just hold it for the next generation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like stuff like that.
What is that?
That's a watch.
It's a watch.
It's like the king of watches.
Yeah, big time.
Big money
stratosphere
watch.
Okay. Yeah. This is the MB&F Astrograph pin. I'll read the description that they wrote.
Okay.
Born out of dreams of space travel and science fiction, the MB&F Astrograph pin is as much an object d'art as it is a writing instrument. It was the result of a 4-year collaboration between the Swiss watchmaker and you can help me with this, Stephen. It's Caran d'Arc, I don't know what that is, a legendary producer of pens, pencils, pastels, and other artistic tools. The fountain pen is crafted from nearly 100 rhodium-plated components and has a rocket-like design with 3 stabilizer legs that extend to hold the pen upright while not in use. It arrives in a launch pad presentation box and includes a magnetized astronaut figurine that will attach to any point of the pen or pad, available in 3 different finishes and limited to just 99 examples. It looks like a very cool 1960s style rocket that maybe Tracy Morgan, when he did what was his character's name, the astronaut?
Brian Fellows.
Yeah, very 60s style rocket pen.
Okay.
How much for this pen?
God, I'm going to be bad at this because I if a pen...
Not what you would pay.
No, I couldn't imagine.
99 pieces.
We haven't gotten too bougie on this episode, have we?
Could give two shits about
it. We haven't done this in a long time. This is fine.
You know we're going to get hate mail. You rich motherfuckers.
Well, we're not buying this stuff. We're just talking about it.
Mm.
We can't afford this.
We're talking about first class.
If you guys want a hint, there's no way we can afford this pen.
By the way, when people like talk about it, I don't want to hear about someone talking about being rich or bragging about it. But I've said this before. I want to hear the truth. I don't want to hear Stephen Kramer not talk about his real life because he's afraid of how he's going to come off. I want to hear you talk about what you've done because I want to hear the truth about shit. I don't want you to pretend like you're someone else.
Yeah.
So I don't want a poor person pretending like they're rich or a rich person pretending like they're poor. I just want to hear the fucking truth about their lives, and that's it. So I don't.
Tom Van putting on the hammer. Now, I like it.
So if someone's like, I don't want to hear how fucking Bill Gates has, you know, what his normal day-to-day activities and how much money he spends. Like, we used to enjoy talking to Roop about never going to the ATM
or not having a concept of how to use one.
Or not knowing what groceries cost.
And I don't think anybody, even poor people, any people would just basically.
He's not bragging, it's just his real life, and it's interesting.
I think everybody can look at
real life. I mean, we've all flown first class here.
Anybody can look at that pen and go, that's a fucking work of art. It's amazing.
That is amazing.
What? How much? It's a 99 pieces. Excuse me. Oh my god.
I'm going.
Edit that out.
That was gross.
That was bad. You
that
edit
was
that
really
out.
Gross.
I'm going $349.
Okay, I think that's a good guess.
Really,
Kramer?
I would say $2,799.
$2,799.
Damn. I will say that one of you is closer than the other. Those pens are $19,900 a piece.
Oh, my God.
They are handmade.
Wow.
Each one is $19,900 a piece.
That's stupid money.
It is stupid money. You talk about what made me think of this is Tom saying buyer's remorse. Imagine spending $20,000 on a, look, I got my favorite pen right here. My favorite pen is right here. I use this pen every single day. This is a Inner Gel Liquid Gel Ink by Pentel. I bought this pen at Walgreens for, I believe, $3. This is my favorite pen.
That makes your $100 Mont Blanc or whatever it is look like peasant money.
Yeah.
$19,000. That's one you never take out and use.
It's $19,900. It's a $20,000 fucking pen.
I like fantasies.
With a magnetic astronaut that sticks to every point of it. Why do you even need that?
You don't. It's a work of art.
To have these fantasies where The only way I could buy this pen if I liquidated my 401k.
I know, that's what I was talking about. I have to sell my entire house.
And my entire savings, then I'd have $19,000 cash. And then I like buying that pen and then presenting it to my wife and saying, I've spent all of our money on this pen.
When I build myself.
And then I kill myself
sign
after.
The divorce papers. with the pen.
No, you immediately have to.
Who gets the pen?
Shoot yourself
you
in the head.
Cut it in half, right? It's like King Solomon with the baby.
I give it to
give
Max.
It to Max. Let him write on the walls.
Throws in the toilet.
When I was a baby, I flushed. My dad had this engineering watch, or this watch he got for his graduation from engineering school. Really nice watch.
Yeah.
I flushed it down the toilet.
No shit.
I think we should end on that note.
That's what babies do.
I lost the watch that my mom gave me for graduating high school, jumping off of a bridge into some stinky Miami canal.
Oh. Were you like rope tree jumping?
It was bridge jumping.
I have my dad's watch. I still have it. I still wear it to
this day.
You were
wearing it recently?
Yeah, I just wore it yesterday. I got to watch my dad take his last breath.
Now, why is
and
that?
Then his
like,
face
on.
Turned
no,
bright red as the on. Oxygen left him. And some say you could see his soul come out of his eyeballs.
Right, come on. Why do you end
on? One of the worst
we should not, let's not end on that.
Then I kissed his cheek and closed his eyes and walked outside of the hospital and cried in the bushes.
In the bushes?
Mm-hmm. I wanted to lay down. I was just,
we can't
I was
end this dark.
Broken.
We already started with dogs dying.
I was just a broken man. I wanted to just collapse in the street.
It takes a week or
you're
so
making me get
to get back percent. Into this. You know.
Yeah.
Well, the first one off is it's not a lot of death. Daniel's crazier than ever.
Yeah.
Kramer, you're calmer than ever. Surprisingly.
Yeah, you are. You're very focused. You needed that vacation.
That's exactly right.
Next week,
I'm like a wild man that's been pent up, and every now and then I got to get out there and get a little crazy.
You've been getting laid, I can tell.
Get that energy out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Kramer's been cleaning his pipes, I can tell.
I feel like you need to dabble more into the super elite of Orlando and get into some bird masks and things like that.
What? Some bird orgies.
No, I'm saying like I used to hang out with Bushy, there was a realm of like super gambling addict.
Sex slave.
With topless.
Yeah, there was the
bartenders and stuff.
He didn't do this, but there was other people that are rich that were like may or may not have mistresses all around, and their wives knew about it. But it's fun, and they had super fancy cars, and they lived this extravagant gambling bird mask life.
In 5 years, you're gonna see me. You're not even gonna know who I am. I'm gonna have like a beard, like a ZZ Top beard, and my hair is going to be like Jesus hair.
That'll never happen.
And I'll be in the gym all the time. I won't even be in the gym. I won't go to the gym because I'll be working on my ranch.
Have you ever thought about selling, like, liquidating all your businesses and just taking it easy?
Well, by then I'll have the antique business. It'll be like a uncrepe but affordable for people. For me, you know, I'll have that going on. And
I think about that. I was like,
I'll be restoring airplanes.
If we sold this company right now, we'd have a lot of debt. a lot of debt.
Ah, yeah.
And who would buy it? You'd have to.
I don't know.
Nobody.
That'd be pretty funny though, because they could.
It's not
take
worth
on the rules of Tom and Dan.
Yeah, yeah. Then our listeners would be pissed, and then they would have nothing.
What do we care?
No, I do it.
Maybe, but think about this: maybe there's a listener that's crazy enough and rich enough that they want to like bid for to be one of you and buy you guys.
No,
out.
I want to sell it to one guy and have him do both voices. Really talented.
I always said I'll
like
sell
Private
out.
Parts Howard Stern style.
Yeah, yeah.
Money can buy anything for me.
Let's get out of here.
Anything. Yeah, let's do it.
My wife,
guys, thanks for listening. Leave more voice messages on the app, Kramer. Thank you as always. Go to Ship to Shore. Shop. Ship to Shore.
And they got to use the discount code, the AMTACT code, because...
Yes, money off, folks.
AMTACT, Shop Ship to Shore. A great present is coming in the holidays right now, so...
Get it for your grandfather.
Plus, we're going to be doing our product launch soon.
Yes.
Get it for your grandfather for Thanksgiving.
Can we announce what the T&D product is going to be?
Yeah.
It's going to be a penile cream, right?
I need that
sometime. What cream?
Penile cream.
A penile cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a penile
cream. It smooths your... carbuncles.
It's going to be an aftershave.
Gets rid of the acne on the base of your penis.
Yeah. My
acne. That's troubling. That's disturbing.
You could get acne on your penis.
I've been in some really dark places today.
My penis
that's
looks
one
like
of them.
Leprechauns.
Mine looks like a French burnt peanut. And we know Jimmy's looks like a pit bull's nose. It stinks.